Let us listen to the word of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites before King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth, and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me, therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. O, hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. If someone sins against a neighbor and is given an oath to swear and comes and swears before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing their conduct on their own head and vindicating the righteous by rewarding them according to their righteousness. When your people Israel, having sinned against you, are defeated before an enemy, but turn again to you, confess your name, pray and plead with you in this house. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, I don't know how many of you learned this, but I learned this children's rhyme about the church, and I'm sure you've seen it before. Here's the church, and here's the steeple, right? You open the doors, and then you flip it over, and you see all the people. It was silly. It was certainly clever, whoever figured that out. And I loved wiggling all my fingers as a kid, making all those people. But when I think back about it now, as a child, it defined what I think about church. And that little rhyme, it's about a building filled with a whole lot of people, right? But what happens when that building gets old? What happens if some of the people leave? What happens if it's not as full on some Sundays as others? Certainly, many of us long-timers would reminisce the glory days, right? Those golden era day. We remember we had to add chairs in the sanctuary. Remember how children filled the Sunday school rooms. We remember how the youth room was full with teenagers and going off to mission trips. We could hardly contain it. I've certainly heard this before in our church. That whole phrase, I remember how things used to be. That line. So the difficulty with learning a children's rhyme like this, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. If that's how we define church, a building filled with all these people, is that actually what the church is? Many of us, at least on an intellectual level, would say the church is much bigger than just a building. While we do love the gorgeous stained glass that we have here in this place, and we have memories of Christmas Eve worship, pageants, children's music, weddings, funerals, all that's taken place in this space, it's really much more than that. It's about the people, the church family. It's not just about a building. Now, in today's scripture, we read about Solomon's dedication of the temple. According to one scholar, the temple is the symbol of great importance. The nation of Israel, who were nomads and lost for generations, who eventually fought people occupying the land, God promised their ancestors. They sought leaders to govern and unite them as a nation. And finally, after hundreds of years, they had arrived. They have a homeland. And they don't have to carry the Ark of the Covenant from tent to tent anymore. It now has a permanent home. Solomon constructs the temple in Jerusalem, and now that the temple's been built, Solomon understands the importance of this hour as a leader. He assembles all these people together, and this crowd that he gathers, he invites them all to pray, and this is where we find ourselves in our scripture reading today. Listening to that prayer of a monarch standing before the altar of God, he's in the presence of all those assembled from far and wide, those who have heard the stories of their ancestors, those who celebrate those festivals every year. They all now have a permanent place to pray, to sacrifice, to call their home for God. He prays for himself, for Israel, for all the people, including foreigners in their midst as they dedicate this temple. There's one thing that seems so striking in the prayer to me. It's not entirely shocking, but he essentially says that while this building is important and great, I don't know if you caught it, it's not essential. Much like we know that our church building is wonderful, it's a blessing. It's been here since 1900. Church is much more than just about a building. In his prayer, he says this, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built." Of course, God is too great to be contained or obtained by a building. Even heaven cannot contain God. So therefore, while the building of the temple signifies an important transition, allowing them to finally settle and call Jerusalem home as an important place for people to gather, to pray, to learn, God is not limited to this and will never be limited to a place. When I was on a plane headed toward Israel many years ago, in the morning, I'd finally gotten up, I stretched my legs to try to find the bathroom, and on my way, I found many Orthodox Jews gathered in the back of this plane, and they had awoken at sunrise, and they were praying toward the direction of Jerusalem, toward the front of where that plane was heading, facing the temple. In verse 30, "Hear the plea of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place." They keep that tradition alive even today, even on a plane at sunrise. What's important about this verse is that it creates an opportunity for people to pray when they're far from the temple. It even provides a way for people to pray after the temple is burned down. After it's destroyed by the Babylonians, when they're exiled from Jerusalem. And then additionally, after the destruction of that second temple in 70 AD, and still today, when the building no longer stands, today there are only remains of the foundation blocks. We call it the Western Wall. So does a building matter? Sure, it matters, but it's not essential. And just like Solomon says, God cannot be contained. Prayer still happens today, whether you're in Jerusalem or not, and whether there's a building there or not. And similarly, we understand church isn't about a building. It's about the people. Yet at the same time, it's not necessarily very easy to separate those two, especially since we come to this building every week to worship and to pray, to study, to meet, to learn, even to eat donuts after worship. This is where we gather, isn't it? It's much like any family living in a house. The physical structure certainly isn't as important as the individuals of that family. We can move to different and separate places. The structure itself is simply wood and drywall or plaster, and yet it impacts the way we respond and act, and it becomes part of who we are. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The church is more than just the building. While it certainly shapes us and is part of us, while it's a way we participate in worship and ministry and fellowship, our church shouldn't be confined to this space. The vision shouldn't be focused solely on the building. It should be focused on what God's calling us to do, where God's calling us to go as God's people. So when it's not about the building, then what would happen if God told us to sell it? Nearly 75 years ago, something like that happened. Folks from State Street Presbyterian Church marched down State Street to join Westminster Presbyterian Church. In fact, when I was looking at old pictures, these chairs, I've counted how many there are, and it seems like we have many of them here, too many for all the people sitting up here, right? They're from State Street Presbyterian Church, which is an important marker of this place because two churches converged and came together to unite and be reunited as First Presbyterian Church. They'd ask questions like, what ministries do we continue and what do we do differently together? If we still don't have the building right downtown, these are the questions that people had to answer. Certainly, what emotions would come up if we had that conversation today? Now, I recognize that it's quite complicated. It certainly stirs up emotions just thinking about what if we left this space. But the reason I bring it up is because we're far from having that discussion. And yet, if we ask those questions, it makes us think about what's really essential, what's really important as a people of God. What are we called to do? Our building is on the corner of College and Westminster. We host the Presbyterian Daycare Center. Yet, do we always think of what this location, why it matters to us, where we're located? Heritage Health is just a block away. Washington Elementary and the Bowl are just a few blocks away to the east. Illinois College is just a few blocks to the west. Do we use this location to do ministry in our community, to these places? How do we do that? There's a church in Albuquerque, and they were intentionally called the Property Committee by a different name. Instead of calling it the Property Committee, they called it Building for Mission. It's how they saw their building. They saw groups in the community who could use their building. They developed a relationship with mentally disabled adults to use the building during the week as an adult daycare. During evenings, they had many community groups use the space. It was such an important part of their ministry. They had volunteers coordinate all these efforts. The purpose for the building as mission wasn't to get more people there on Sunday mornings, but more for the very purpose of using their building for mission. Where they were located, who they reached, really mattered to them. It mattered so much that they called a property committee by a different name. So our task is this: to continue following in Solomon's prayer, to recognize that God cannot be contained in heaven or the highest heaven or on any place in the earth. That God gives us opportunity to be called by God to serve the world, to do fresh and new things, to go out into the world, outside these walls, as a church, to think of those questions. Think of, why has God put us here in this place? Who can God be calling us to meet? In order to see where God is, see where Christ and the Holy Spirit are active in this world, because God is much more active outside, so that we can do church in such a way that it's not just about this space. In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit, and of the Son, we pray and give thanks. Amen.